Okay, promises of God. Quick question. Anybody who can remember any promise of God in the scriptures? Yes. The earth will not be flooded as in the days of Noah. Yes. Honor your father and mother so that you have a long life. I will not leave you or forsake you. Yes, Dossie. I'll be with you always to the very end of the earth. Yes. She's okay. Yes. Sorry again? Are we okay? No, without the flood, there we go. Right, life and life to the full. I'm coming back soon. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Delight yourself in the Lord and give you the desires of your heart. We'll talk about that a little bit. Yes. I have plans for you to prosper you. Another question. How many of us really believe that? Okay. Some of them. It's okay to struggle with doubt. We got to walk through that. So, the promises of God are amazing in the Bible. And they can transform your life if you memorized and walked with them. In the times of need and in times of victory. Yet I think that many of us move away from that aspect of the Scripture and tend to walk with the Bible more like the Bible is more like a policeman. No offense if you walk with the police. Love you, respect you. So we just think of the negativities. What am I not supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? What about what you're supposed to do? What about what you need to believe? What about how God can move you to the next level? So we need to move away from using the Bible as a tool of being guarded and watched to a place of what can God do with me? That we can be so defensive in how you live your Christian life that you don't feel any victories. All you do is battle defense all the time. I don't want to bring up some basketball games last night. I may offend some people. So I will leave it at that. I just leave it at that. So if you're defensive, you're never enjoying your spiritual walk with God. But if you're experiencing God and you're letting this be the promises that you claim and walk by them, it is transformative. Another question. How many of us have some memory scriptures that help us to go through life? Regular. Okay. I know I've come through. I keep coming back to this. Remember the theme of this year's... What is the theme of this year? Remain in the vine. So we got to stick with it, okay? Okay, 911, that if you call 911, the lady that says, hello ma'am, hello sir, what's your name, that they can tell the number, if you can't tell your name and where you are, they can tell by seeing the numbers registered to what house. And because they know that, whether you say a word or not, they'll come to you. And it's becoming way more advanced with GPS and all that. Let's say you're in the desert. We can pinpoint you by using the towers where you really are and come to you whether you say a word or not. You understand that? So the promises of God are your 911 calls that sometimes you just need to say, I need to talk to God, and whether you say a word or not, but the fact that you start to speak. And you know what also happens when they start talking to you? The police are listening in and the fire people are listening in. The police are the angels. The moment you start talking to God in prayer, the angels are trying to come. The fire extinguisher are the brothers and sisters. They're going to get out in their homes and go with some water and bring some fire extinguisher to that situation, love you and talk to you about stuff. And many of us, I've forgotten the 911 that goes upstairs. And now when 911 sometimes is just in crisis, we don't know how to use 911 when it's just okay. Just let them know that everything is fine in this house. Just checking to make sure that this line is functioning. So let's talk about some promises. There are some promises that win in sorrow. What can make you sorry about life? That's the question. What makes us sorrowful about life? Loss. That's a big one. Heart. That's a lot of that goes on. And we just slide. Health. As you lose health, at one point you could do X, Y, Z, another point you can't do all that. Yes. Fear can bring you sorrow. Yeah, and that's huge. You can have so much fear that you're not even sleeping. So much fear that you're not functional properly. You're scared. I'm like, and you got to figure these things with God. What else brings sorrow? Yeah. Regret. I wish. What if? The what if question is dangerous, you know. Because you can't get back there. The future awaits and you're held with what if. Disappointment. Yeah, disappointment. Sin. Sin, you get convicted. You feel guilty. But at some point you have to repent. Yes. Failure. Failure is a very tricky business, you know. What is failure? It has some different perceptions and societal things that can really grab you and think you're just the failure. And other people say, well, that was just a mistake and I'm changing from that. Some other hands here. Yes, Grub. Loneliness. We're coming to that. Hold on that thought. I got that coming on. I'll come to that at some point. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. This is Jesus saying. That you and I have to make a decision not to be troubled. How do you do that? How do you get to a place of, you know what? No amount of regret, no amount of this. I got to just accept what God says. That if God says it is as good as done, that don't be troubled. Trust God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. You can read the whole chapter and brings you a perspective of heaven. But really what Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Sometimes you read that scripture and then you start questioning, so how do you do it? And you get stuck in how do you do it? You make a decision. Just like you decide, I'm not going to look at that direction. I'm going this direction. Let's simplify this stuff. Sometimes I'm worrying. And I have to tell myself, don't let your heart be troubled. And I stop. I say, what does it say? Don't let. So I stop. The truth be told is some things you need to talk through with someone, but you got to stop it. And then it says what? Trust in God. So you don't just stop. You must now replace that with what he's saying. You trust God. Trust God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Lean not on your own understanding. I'll trust God in this one. When you trust God, it means you don't know the answers, but you know he's walking. Romans 8:28. For your good, right? That right now I'm going to struggle. I'm going to go through some challenges. But he's walking. So I'm going to be open. No temptation has seized me except what is common to man. He'll provide a way out. So I'm going to be open because I trust what he's doing. We struggle with trust because why should I trust when nothing good is coming out yet? That's always a big challenge. And you got to ask yourself that question. Why is it difficult to trust God? Because we're taught to touch stuff, to believe it when you see it. We're not taught. We are actually killing faith. We are taught to touch stuff and believe when you see it. Very few people do the other way around. But let's face it, you invest, don't you? I mean, how many of us are trying to invest for retirement? So you got some trusting going on here. But you're trusting your dollars and you're looking at, I hope you don't wake up every morning looking at the stocks and see what's going on there. I hope you just come and say, God, you're walking out this one. That the government will be there in another 100 years. Well, we'll not be around, but we trust that the government will be functional, right? Why can't you trust God? He's asking you to do the same thing. That you trust me. That God is saying, you trust me, I'll take care of you. So don't, when you're sorrowful, trust God. Why should you trust God? Because how do you deal with loss of someone you love? You can only trust God that it was time. How do you deal with loss of health? And we all get older, we're going to lose some functionality or something. Believe me, as a teen, you may not think this, but you're coming this way. As a young person, I can tell you, you're coming this way. We're not coming to you. So we're waiting this other side of the world. We may cross before we see you, but you're coming anyway. You got to understand that. Trust God. Stuff like that. Regret. You can't fix that. You can only trust God. Right. When you trust God, you begin to see the good of what you've gone through. When you don't trust God, you beat yourself down and waste a lot of energy and time, and growth never happens. So yes, you stop worrying, but you start trusting. That is a faith issue. And then he says, end game, it's bigger. You're going to get to heaven. Can I ask you a question? What if your dreams never happen? Yeah, let me ask that question. What? Yeah. Are you going to be sad? Yeah. So, but does that, exactly, it'll all be fulfilled, but does that mean I'll be miserable? Nobody wants to talk now. Yes, Tommy. Disappointed. But you can walk through disappointment. Did you get that? These are my dreams, but God, these are not God's dreams, but God's dreams are way much bigger for me than my own dreams. Do you see how that can raise you above your issues? Because when I say that, many of us just feel like, oh my goodness, what if it never happens? There's a bigger God, bigger than that stuff you're going through. You know, God can stop something to give you something bigger. But you get stuck with your small stuff. You get stuck with your small stuff, so you're afraid. What if it never happens? Open your eyes to the probabilities of what God can do. It's possible that your goal doesn't happen and something else happens. It's happened to me many times. But you know, in hindsight, I see what God has done. In hindsight, in the meantime, I'm struggling. But now I'm beginning to realize when I'm struggling to look back to, so how did that happen? God still worked out for the good anyway. Am I making sense? Let's not be sad. This is good news. God's promise is when you feel down and out. What causes us to feel down and out? Yes. Disappointments. So this is becoming a common theme, you see. What else?
A greater ratio of discouragement than encouragement.
So you're getting good stuff, but not as much as the bad stuff. Marital problems or being single for too long. Yes. Stress. The world can throw things at you. Yes, Tommy. Kids. Yes. What your family does?
Not reaching our goals.
Not reaching our goals. Multiple things just pile up and you just feel like, enough. I'm about to crush. If you don't remember the promises of God, here's what it says, Romans 8:31. What shall we say? about such wonderful things as this. If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to think for a moment about what that scripture says. If the God that created the universe is for you, what can beat you? Take a moment and let this thing sink in. If this God that spoke the universe says, let there be this, what can be against you? So when you're down and out, you need to go here and remember, you know what? It's like boxing. You can be knocked out, but you can stand up again. Amen. Yeah, you know, I don't know how many of you follow that. And some of you feel like it's a violent sport, but it has good lessons. The guy, what's his name? The world champion right now in heavyweight is called Anthony somebody in the UK. That when he was, the last fight, he was knocked out. He went down. I thought he was out. He woke up and kept going and won the fight. Wow. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's going to do that to you. You're going to give him a knockout. And we're going to start counting. One, two. We're going to hold your hands. Are you ready to be faithful? We're not sure about it. Oh, let's just kick. Put him in the corner. Get those guys to look at his eyes a little bit. It's bleeding. Some of us take ourselves to the corner. Don't talk to me. I'm not happy. Don't touch me. You don't understand. God understands, and he's on your side. I just want to remind you that God is on your side. You may have been knocked out, but trust God. You can be knocked out for a year, you know. This is not like boxing for 10 counts. You can be knocked out for 5 years. Yeah. As in, you come back. But what gets you back is your connection with God. I don't know, the other day I was talking to Mike, I told him, I feel alive. I said, just talking to different people that different things, I just feel life. And I said, I didn't realize how down I was until I talked to this person and I resolved this issue. I'm like, wow, I feel alive. Just resolving stuff can get you back to life. So if you have some unresolved issues, begin the journey of resolving that stuff. You will feel alive. If God is for us, there's nothing you cannot beat with God. Now, when I say that, many of us have the idea that maybe I'll get well. Maybe you will come to a place where you can go through that with the same challenge, but with a faithful attitude. You understand that? It's not always taking it away. Sometimes it's just saying God is aware of what I'm going through, and I'll win. That's the victory you give. God allowed you to go through that so that you can show victory irrespective of what happened. Does that make sense? Let's talk about this. When your pockets are empty. God's promise is when your pockets are empty. I know we've been talking about financial discipline. As of last Sunday, we had a panel here talk about that. But let's face it. Some of us are broke. Now we have the message about being prudent with our finances, and you can feel miserable. They said, thank you, Lord, they talked about that. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, they talked about that, you can feel miserable. I mean, financial stress is real. Am I right? It can create discontentment. It can create a lot of just not feeling happy. What does that say about us if we're not happy because we don't have money? False idolization. Our focus is off. Yes? Entitled. Security in money instead of God. We're not saying you don't need money. We're just saying, where should your faith be? Anybody else? This helps me. In my years of ministry, I've been with people that have everything, and I'm maybe studying the Bible with them, and they're very unhappy. Then in the same day, I've gone to another place where they didn't even have a bathroom. And we're very happy. Yeah. And it gave me perspective. And I said, hold on. How is it that this guy got everything and is so unhappy? And this other guy got nothing. And they were so happy to see me. I had so much conversation. By the time I left that place, I felt like, man, I'm spoiled. I'm asking you to have faith in God as you develop your discipline of finance, because you can get crippled just because you don't have it and lose all the good lessons that have come by because you're feeling sorry for yourself. Just because you don't have money now, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. If you begin to do that, now it'll come together. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. So let's go up there. Trust the Lord and do good. Just because you don't have money doesn't mean you become mean. Sometimes when people don't have money, they're really mean. They're cantankerous. You're like, what happened? Have you ever noticed that? When people have money, they're whistling, they're happy. Hey, good to see you. When they have no money, you're like, and that is a challenge of Christians going to that God of money. Because then we don't have a God that is steady. We are angry. How is your marriage when you don't have money? How do you guys talk to each other? Then you find that the light was left on the whole night. Who left this light the whole night? Who is not in the water run all that time? Fearful people are controlling. Fearful people are controlling and mean. The Bible says, trust the Lord and do good. You can take care of the lights without being angry. Amen. You can put off the water without being angry and shouting at the kids and everybody else. Then you will live safely in the land. Then people will feel safe around that place. Be great. And prosper, because as people get happier, they can cooperate. And so we're all trying to achieve some savings here. Let's work this thing together. Does that make sense? Take delight in the Lord. Just because you don't have money, you still need to be happy in the Lord. Amen. Then you'll know how to save. Maybe that's all that God is waiting for you to do, to delight yourself in the Lord. Then you'll get this money coming across. Because maybe you worship this God of money way too much. I've listened to rich people. And some people say, you know, if I tell you this stuff, you will never believe me. Money is not everything. But because you don't have the money, you don't believe me. But lately, the more I think about it, I really believe it. Because I've seen many people and I said, and I've interacted with many wealthy, wealthy people. And it's true, you need God. They were looking for God like nobody's business. And those of us that don't have that kind of money, we think, if I just had money, I'll be happy. Oh, no, you'll be miserable. The taxes that you have to pay, the number of false friends that will be around you, the kind of guys that will call you, the uncles that you don't know you have will be calling, the aunties that will call you and the cousins that will call, and all the fake brokers that will come by and say, I can make your money grow. Are you kidding me? You have to think through these things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. I'm saying worship God, not the money. Amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich and to be wise. I'm just saying, I believe that when disciples lack that joy because of money issues, something is wrong in our faith. We've got to get ourselves in the right place, because when it comes, we're able to give and have fun with it. Does that make sense? Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your desires. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. When you are happy and delighting and trusting God, it's easier for God to walk with you. When you're angry and upset, you cannot even hear God's voice, because you've held the blessings, because now you've mortgaged your joy based on until this happens. Can I say this? Even as a single person, be joyful. God will bring you the desires of your heart.
That's right. That's right.
If as a couple, be joyful. God will bring you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
When we are full of conflict, the Spirit does not work in such a place.
That's right.
We got to let go of stuff. And the truth be told, there needs to be more delighting in God's work.
Amen.
Giving of ourselves. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Commit everything you do to the Lord. Everything. Pray about everything. Commit it to God. Ask God. Trust Him and He will help you. We've got to go back to committing things to God. It's a promise from God. Commit things to God. The way we do now, to the way we do things today is we Google. We research. We come up with a good plan. That's a good part of it. But beyond that, can you commit it to God? After the research, can you give the research to God and say, God, can you walk with this research? I've done my due diligence. Help me do what I need to do well. And be joyful. God will move around. Whether it's a new job you're looking for whatever. Just because you walked in an office and you're joyful, people may want to work with you. But if you walk in the office and you're looking very angry and defensive, they'll look at you and say, we're not sure we want this guy in the office. God's promise, when you feel lonely and fearful, we're back to the business. I think Grab talked about loneliness. What causes loneliness? Yes. What? Lack of connection to purpose. Did you get that? To purpose. Yeah. Hidden sin. That guilt grabs you and isolates you. And you feel so alone because nobody can connect to you. Lack of relationships. Even though you sit with people, you don't have a connection. Yes. Unhealthy dependency on others. In other words, I cannot function if I'm not connected to Victor. Until I see Victor, I'm not going to be happy. That's not good. I got to be connected to God. Yes? Humility? Timidity. Yeah, we're just timid. We will not let the Spirit walk with us. We are afraid. Yes? Yeah, low self-esteem sometimes is developed by comparison. You keep looking at the other guy and you feel like, I'm not good as them. You go to Facebook, I'm not look as good as them. You go to Instagram, I'm not as good as them. You go to all these other places and you're like, I don't look as good as these people. And then before you know it, you start feeling a very low self-esteem. Because you're creating the image of God, wonderfully made. Well, I got a believer there. A man somewhere, but everybody else is like, what is he talking about? You're creating the image of God. It's that simple. I live with that. I'm not busy going to put anyone down. I say, you know, I'm creating the image of God. And I'm living it at that. So the point being is this loneliness is not that people need to be in your life all the time. It's that you need to get a purpose, connect with God, connect with people. Have a relationship that is really directing you. It'll change. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. The psalmist seems to say, I like these dark places. God is going to protect me. Wow. How do we live our lives? I think one of the reasons we are so alone is because we don't connect to who we really are. So we feel alone. We have layers and layers and layers on it. Sometimes I sit alone for a while sometimes. My wife knows when I'm in that zone, I'm just quiet. I'm trying to figure out what's happening. But it's amazing when I go to the scriptures in that place, I come out way strengthened. So the question that I want to put to you today is, when you feel lonely and fearful, do you remember that God is right there with you? Do you remember that God is right there with you? Some of us are just afraid to spend time alone. We run to TV and just keep flipping the channels. Sometimes just put it off and pay attention to what the Spirit is saying. We can get so entertainment-oriented. I'm just going to do this. No, we've got to pay attention to, what am I afraid of? Do I trust that God will take care of that? We all have seasons when we need to really focus and let God direct us. It's a promise. He'll take care of us. You walk through the dark valleys, He'll take care of us. The Lord is your shepherd. We all have things that will happen to us in life that will either make you a bitter person or a better person.
That's right.
I'm not a prophet of doom. It happens to all of us, even the best of us. Stuff happens that can kill your spirit. I've been there. I used to tell myself, I'm a bubbly guy. Nothing can put me down. I went through stuff. I went down for a good 5 years. For 5 years, I was like, man, dead man walking. Let's see what happens. As long as I'm walking, I'm okay. But you looked at my eyes, I lost the spark. They were like, you know, God is alive. I said, yeah, He is. Not sure about for me right now. But I kept going to church. And I kept praying. There are days I felt alive. But if you met me later, you think he's back in the fog, in the weeds. He's just upset with everything. I once was talking. My wife says, we're done talking about this. And for a while I thought, you're my wife. You should hear me out all the time. She says, I'm done talking. You always complain about that stuff. I'm like, okay. I'm on my own now. Well, it was a good job to, hey, go to God and figure this thing out.
Amen.
It was a good job. Say, hey, you know, you need to figure this out with God. You're enough talking to me all the time. You know, when you keep talking about the issue all the time, you're stuck. You need to start going to God. The shepherd awaits you to walk you through the valley of darkness. And here's the stuff. If you keep talking about your pain all the time, you need to go to the shepherd and get help. I'm not being harsh, I hope. I'm gingerly taking you to the shepherd.
Amen.
This is another promise. When you grow bitter and critical. How do we get like that? How do we get bitter and critical? Hurt. When you're hurt and you don't talk about it, you start putting some bitterness in the system.
Oh, I was going to say stuffing your emotions, not talking about it.
Not talking about it, just stuffing. You're going through stuff and you're not talking. That's the bitterness. It's going to come your way. Yes?
Unresolved
stuff. You're not talking and you're not resolving. You keep saying someday. When someday comes, you'll be too heavy. Yes? Dinner?
When you can't stop talking about the bad thing that happened to you.
When you can't.
Poison everything else.
Did you get that? When you can't stop talking about a bad thing that happened to you and it poisons everything else. 1900, when I tell you, if you were in that place, man, you gotta be there. They really hurt me. I said, well, that's true. But you can't stay at it. That's true. Now, I want to be very sensitive because bitterness is real. I don't want to disclaim your feelings. I want to be very sensitive. It's very real. But you've got to take the steps to get healed. This is not a salvation. This is a healing issue. Many of us are not healed, so we got to walk through this healing. And this is just a healing issue. So it's a journey we all have to start undertaking and realize that I'm beginning to go to the bitterness end and come out of that. I don't want to belittle your pain. It's real. You've got to start walking towards healing. But you cannot do that by fighting and telling people they don't understand. You got to do that by submitting to Scripture and looking for safe people to talk about. Amen. Some of us, when people talk about it, says, hey, stop talking about that. Gingerly help people to come out of it. Because bitterness is a real hurt. It's trauma. It's like having an accident. Having an accident. You got a trauma, your broken leg. You've got to mend that leg and get them to walk again. And you can't do that by shooting them off. Gently talk through things.
Amen.
Until they come to a place where they're like, amen, we're good. They may have been talking about it twice a month or twice a week. Eventually they go to twice a month, twice a year. Nothing happening. Then you know they're good. It takes a while. You got to be patient. So anybody else want to say anything before I go into this? I got only 5 minutes here, so let me get on with this. Okay, going forward. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. The antidote of bitterness and criticalness is love.
Amen.
If you follow the whole scripture, love is not this, love does not keep records of wrong. For us to heal one another, we've got to have love.
Amen.
The way we will heal the church and everybody get healed is as we love one another. That's where you get over criticalness. You have to remember that we all have needs. I have my baggage, you have your baggage. Like Southwest, we all arrive safely. You understand that? With your baggage. But the key thing is safe and loving one another.
Amen.
Loving one another. If we love one another, we can be in activity, we can baptize the whole world, but if we don't love one another, we're hurting more and building more bitterness and resentment within ourselves. The thing that takes away all that is love. And that's a whole chapter. You can read that. I just began by saying, you can do all this stuff. It means nothing. We've got to meet each other's needs. How do we get along with other people? So everything I've mentioned about the promises of God, here's one, how to get along with other people. We are very different, aren't we? Very different.
Yep.
Background, how you grew up, DNA, your perspective, your view of things, your taste. Austin likes dreadlocks. Victor likes this kind of hairstyle. I don't know what we call that. We just different taste. Different taste. You see, it's very different. And yet you can sit in a corner and just like, who eats like that? Let's talk about this. How to get along with other people. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. I remember once having a conversation with my daughter, and I don't know what I was talking about. It's just different things. And she says, Dad, you're so judgmental. And I said, what? I'm a minister. What are you talking about? I love people. Well, she was right. I had to say, how do I look at people? Do I classify them? It can be pride. But be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. How do you treat people? Do you treat people the same? Or are you very nice with people that have something to give you? But if they have nothing to give you, if it's the boss you're talking to, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. If it's some guy, wah, what are you talking about? We'll see you tomorrow. You got to pay attention to one another.
Right.
Not because you have something to receive, because Jesus is Lord and we're brothers and sisters. Do not be conceited, because sometimes we get conceited based on experience. You can get conceited about that. Based on monies. Based on home. Based on education. Based on height. Based on looks. Based on car. Based on shoes. Based on hair or lack of hair. I think Alan is fine in that area. We've got to be careful on that one. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. It's so easy to be vengeful. Be careful to do what... You know, we hold back. We're angry because he treated me like, I'm going to... No, the answer is love. It's not being vengeful. If we just change that, everything... You've got to walk the high road. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. That's what it's talking about here. Everybody, not just a few people. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There are people that you love, but they'll not love you back. That's fine. Love them anyway. Yeah. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. But you know, when you wait on God, it may take 10 years. You know that? You know how long it took for Saul to stop, even though he was rejected as a king? About 40 years before all that stuff. You've been rejected. It took another 40 years before he fell off. So David was just saying, I'm waiting on the Lord. It's been 10 years, David. Get on with this business. I'm waiting on the Lord. It's been 20 years, David. Get on with it. He was waiting on the Lord.
Wow.
Waiting on the Lord is, I've given over this resentment issue. If we're going to get along, we talk diversity and all that stuff, we're going to do this. It's a promise from God.
Right.
It works. If you don't do that, you may have a cardiac arrest and we might need to have survival techniques happening. It says that you have to recognize if you're going down. This is a cardiac arrest, so how to survive. So this is a spiritual cardiac arrest I want to talk about. Recognize and activate of emergency. You have to begin going back to the promises of God. Recognize if you're going the wrong direction. Go back to the promises of God. Immediate high-quality CPR. Get someone in your life. CPR, you need someone to do CPR in your life. Get someone that is safe in your life. Rapid defibrillations. This is just your heart will go fast. Initially, there's anxiety and fear is happening. What are we going to do? Basic and advanced emergency medical services. So after that, you got to move on, grow, get some much more help, get into the Word, get going in that direction. Advanced life support and post-arrest care. And after that, you get better. You got to learn from what you went through and be different. Nobody goes through a heart attack and stays the same. They change their habits. What you've gone through may be a spiritual heart attack. Change some habits. Change some things. God bless you.